This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. Last week, we saw an example of solidarity in opposition to slavery among people of African descent. But the dynamics within enslaved communities were complicated, and it was far from one big brotherhood. Allegiances were not automatic, and the story of a runaway named Francisque, who found his way to New Orleans in 1766, shows just that.
It complicates our sense that just because you're a slave, you will have empathy towards another slave.
This is Sophie White, a professor at the University of Notre Dame. She's talking about Francisque's story, which she discovered while combing through the records of the Superior Council of Louisiana.
In looking at the criminal trials, I discovered that most of them are in fact slaves who are accused of crimes, either running away or theft is the big one. The slave who's accused would get to testify in court. Not only that, but very often other slaves would get to testify in court. And that was very intriguing to me because we can get a sense of their words, how they express themselves, the stories they want to tell.
White says this is a way to learn more about how enslaved people related to and thought of one another and themselves. Francisque came to town at a pivotal time. For roughly 30 years, between the 1730s and the 1760s, slaves weren't being shipped into the colony. So it was a tight-knit group. Everyone knew everyone. You think New Orleans is a small town today? Think about when there were fewer than 4,000 people. This lasted until Spain took over and resumed international slave trade with Africa and the Caribbean, which is around the time Francisque rolls up. He's from the West Indies.
Although originally he says he's from Philadelphia. He's been purchased by one man who actually had been from Louisiana, and he's sent on a convoy, and he's sold to one of the two founders of St. Louis. So he's all over the place. He's a peripatetic character, and I wish we could trace more of him.
It's when he's on the boat heading to his new masters in St. Louis that he escapes and goes to New Orleans. I imagine him just walking up and a bunch of heads turning all at the same time with that same, "Who's this guy?" look. He doesn't really have a plan or know how to answer that question, but he goes for it.
And he tries to integrate in this local community where he encounters problems because he is an outsider. And in a place like New Orleans, where you have a fairly stable population for the years that there have been no new influxes of slaves, it's a problem to know what to do with the slave and a problem for him to know how to integrate and what the rules are and what the customs are.
He also straight up needs to survive. He's a runaway. He needs shelter. He needs clothing. He needs to eat. So he goes to the market.
His first encounter with this group that he's trying to infiltrate, this group of slaves, is when he goes there to buy eggs, and he pretends not to be a runaway and says he's just buying eggs on behalf of his master and he will come back with payment later, and he never does.
White says that might have been okay, but then he shows up to a dance. At this time, slaves held social dances without the presence of their masters or any whites at all. There was hardly any time or place for enslaved people to socialize and form romantic partnerships, but this is where most of that went down. So he comes through.
He's noted for being very snappily dressed and for dancing with the women.
Not only dancing with them, but fronting all flashy like he could take care of them. And the men are outraged.
And later on, there is another encounter where these two males come across Francisque and they see him with a lot of apparel in his clothes. He's got a bundle of laundry. This is the bundle of laundry he's supposed to have stolen. And they fight and they threaten each other. And the final stage is they actually turn him in. And then the police take over and then the courts take over.
Francisque is accused of theft by fellow slaves and he goes to trial. I headed to the Louisiana Historical Center to check out the original testimonies from the case. You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson.
So in addition to the ones listed here, these other various parts of this case, I located one on the 1st of July, which is the interrogation of Francisque. You're welcome to take a look at these.
Erin Kinchin is the reading room attendant at the Louisiana State Museum's Louisiana Historical Center. She pulled the file of Francisque.
So this is in French, huh?
Yes, it's all in colonial French, in legalese as well for most of the documents. So
wow.
This is the questioning of another enslaved person to see if he knows anything about this other enslaved person, Francisco, or Francisco as he's listed here. He declares he was a runaway for 4 weeks and traveled about, but denies stealing anything.
Okay, so we get the story and see how Francisco perhaps failed to pick up on some social cues, but so what? Sophie White says a lot. Would you say that this is about jealousy?
I think that's a lot to do with it, and it's a lot of it is to do with sexual jealousy too, as well as economic. And so that's the other big picture of this trial, because clearly he's going there for courtship purposes. This is what happened at many of these dance and festivities. This is how you would meet your partners. So when you have an outsider coming in and showing off and courting the women, I don't know what the equivalent would be today, having a limo that you could go to a bar with and then, you know, take someone home in a limo.
Getting like a table and bottle service, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, there are things that we expect, and this is his. This is what he has.
This brings us to the main attraction of Francisque's appearance, what White describes as what Francisque has. Handkerchiefs. Buku handkerchiefs.
And I don't want to gross out the audience too much, but handkerchiefs as we think of them today didn't really exist. They didn't use handkerchiefs to blow their noses. They used a sleeve for that. So
listen, Sophie, I think, you know, there are still some people out there using their sleeves.
Quite possibly. So this is what he's dealing with. And so is he planning to gift those to women whom he might want to court?
White also points out that because these dances are exclusively for free and enslaved people of color, Francisque isn't dressing up all fancy to impress the white people. He's doing it for an audience of fellow slaves.
I think this is really important. I think most self-expression is targeted at a particular group. I mean, the group that you either come from or that you want to belong to. And I think when we look at someone like Francisque, this is tricky because he has a sense of some general rules. He knows about the importance of handkerchiefs. He has this artifact and this garment that he can use, but he doesn't quite understand maybe the finer points of how that plays out.
Francisque is trying to find a mate by showing off and offering his handkerchiefs, but White says what he's really looking for, and just going about in the wrong way, is acceptance and help.
He tries to avail himself of the support that a runaway could usually get from the local community. They will often offer shelter, offer food, offer clothing. And he tries that, but it doesn't really work out for him.
Because although he picks up on some important cues, like the power of the handkerchief, he's too consumed with his appearance and self-image, understandably so, but he doesn't seem to see that he's angering the locals. You can't ingratiate yourself to these people while trying to show them up at the same time, and he doesn't quite get that until it's too late. Back at the Louisiana Historical Center, Aaron Kinchin found Francisque's sentence, given after a month-long trial.
That the Negro Francisque be sentenced to be hanged by the public executioner to a gibbet erected in the public place for that purpose and strangled until death results, and after 24 hours, his body thrown to the lay stall.
Francisque's story shows that it wasn't always all for one and one for all in the enslaved community. The whites didn't even know he was a runaway until a fellow slave drew attention to it by turning him in for his crimes. Perhaps what's more important here is what Francisque's story tells about individuality among the enslaved. While Francisque was bought and sold as chattel through the port cities of the Atlantic world, he made deliberate attempts to express himself and assert his humanity in a world bent on denying him those things. Tripod is a production of WWNO New Orleans Public Radio in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies. Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music. Catch Tripod on the air Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. and Monday afternoons on All Things Considered. To hear this episode of Tripod again, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or go to WWNO.org, where you can find the original testimonies made against Francisque in court. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson, and I'll tripod you later.